I'm Pastor Kim. Welcome to all of you this morning.
Dear God, you are incredible. You created this earth with merely your word, sculpted us from the dust of the ground, and breathed life into our bodies. You rule over us. Your voice echoes above the sea and through the bodies deep into our souls. Time and time again, you have shown us that to put our trust in you leads to incredible acts of compassion and righteousness. You reveal to us your deliberate hints at your existence every day and teach us the road to wisdom and clarity. Although we can make our own plans, God, you give us the right answers, and we thank you for that. This week, we carried out one of our own plans to serve you, God. As your son Jesus said, to let the children come to you, for the kingdom of God belongs to the children who come seeking you. In response, we followed through with yet another year of Vacation Bible School to serve you by teaching children about how much you truly love us and to thank you for all that you have done for us. Thank you for making VBS such a spiritual experience, not only for us as followers of you, Lord, but for the children who were previously unfamiliar with your word. Even if only one child had decided to take Jesus into their heart during that week, VBS would still be considered a success. And thanks to you, we have not had just one, but 16 children take Jesus into their heart for the very first time. Thank you for all of the volunteers that donated their time so graciously to bring the week together smoothly and act as faith-driven role models in your spirit. As we pray to you here, Lord, we take these children as an inspiration to strive to be the very best Christians that we can be, to follow in the footsteps of your son, and to work to scrub our lives clean of sin. But we know that we cannot be perfect, and that we continue to stumble despite your helping hand. Our hearts cringe at the idea that we can be so naive, and we're sorry for that, God. It seems these days that sin is becoming more acceptable in today's society, perhaps even celebrated. We know that this is not what you want, and so we ask that you would guide us out of our habitual sins so that we may be able to spend more time seeking to understand your ways of grace and teachings of obedience. We pray for the children who have accepted Jesus into their hearts for the first time. In addition, we pray for healing for those who are sick. For those in need of purpose or work, bring them employment that would please you, Lord. Give those in challenging relationships understanding and strength to settle the disputes that tear apart their already strained hearts. Our salvation lies in your love. We trust that you will work in our lives for the better to strengthen our faith in you. Continue to reveal your existence in acts of compassion, large or small, and guide us to fulfill your word today, Lord, as we go into our daily routine. We pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ, who loved children and who loved the word. Amen.
This morning's scripture comes from the book of Matthew. As I read and as Kim begins her sermon, the ushers are going to move through the congregation passing out mustard seeds. And coincidentally, today's scripture involves mustard seeds. So this is Matthew 13, verses 31 and 32. Jesus is teaching to the large crowds. And Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches.
Basket comes by, please take a little bag, and inside the bag, there are mustard seeds. Now, Jesus said, some of you know, that if you have faith as one mustard seed, nothing shall be impossible to you. That's in the Bible. However, when I looked at the smallness of the mustard seeds, I decided that one mustard seed wasn't enough, and I put in two. So I think I need to confess that at some point. There is one bag, actually, that has four mustard seeds in it. If one mustard seed you can do anything with, then if you get the bag with four mustard seeds, you better bring about world peace or something like that. I want to talk about today the power of small, how important small things are. Now, think about it. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like one of the little tiny, tiny mustard seeds. Now, when I think of the kingdom of heaven, that doesn't immediately come to my mind. So what I want you to do is open the bag, pour out the mustard seeds into your hand. Notice how small they are. Notice how they get lost in the crease of your hand almost. I bet some of you are afraid you're going to lose them. That's how small they are. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like this. Who would have thought he would have used the mustard seed to tell us what the kingdom of heaven is like? If I saw that, I would say this little dot has nothing to do with the kingdom of heaven. Because when I think of the kingdom of heaven, I think of big pearly gates and broad gold streets and God on a huge throne. And when you can barely see that seed in your hand or seeds, especially now that I'm in my 50s, I can't see anything, you know? So many of us are there or past that. And this seed is so tiny. What could possibly come of it? Well, Jesus said that what can come of that tiny, tiny seed is an enormous tree with sprawling branches, with roots down into the soil, with leaves that open to the sun, where the birds of the air can make nests from that dot, that tiny little seed that you're holding in your hand. Now, imagine that. And I want, now you can put the seed back in the bag and take it home and put it somewhere where you can see it. Tape it on your mirror or on the refrigerator or dangle it down from your mirror in your car. And when you look at the mustard seed, remember the kingdom of heaven is like that. Now, what does this mean? What does it really mean? It means that God uses the very small things to bring about big miracles. It starts with a seed. It starts with a dot. It starts with the small. And it creates a kingdom where the birds of the air can make nests in its branches. Now, all week long, as you know, we've been doing Vacation Bible School with young children. And these children have been amazing. And I just want to remind you that what we do here is far more than just a fun camp event. It's so much more than just learning new songs and making crafts. What we do here in the smallest of ways with the smallest of people changes lives, roots people in the truth of Jesus' love for them, and in so doing transforms the world. The tiny mustard seed of this VBS experience is the beginning of germinating these tiny seeds of faith in the lives of tiny children. And it's these tiny mustard seed experiences of God that in the long run, with nurturing and prayer, and I want to commend all parents who bring their children to church, sign them up for camp, a Christian camp. That's the nurturing, that's the water, that's the sun that helps that seed grow, all right? In the long run, with that nurturing, these children become strong trees for the Lord, rooted and grounded in their faith. Right here in this mustard seed moment of VBS 2015, on this corner, in this church, that's what children have done. They've sent out roots into the soil of God's love for them in Jesus Christ. And it's up to us to nurture that, to follow up with them, to bring them to church, to care about them, so that those seeds can continue to grow. As you heard in Kayla's prayer, this year we had 16 children ask Jesus into their heart for the very first time ever. And one little girl, I wish you could have, all of you could be flies on the wall as I'm doing this with the kids, because we asked them to individually go to a quiet place, because we don't want it to be a mass kind of confession. We want them to choose and do this on their own. So one little girl came into my office and said, I want to ask Jesus into my heart. And she knelt on the floor in my office. I was not doing kneeling with children, but she did it on her own. She closed her eyes and bowed her head, and her prayer was beautiful. She asked Jesus to come into her heart to make her more like the beautiful world God created, and it brought tears to my eyes. Another child, after making a first commitment ever to Christ, asking Jesus to come into his heart, And then we talked about a little bit, but said to me, wow, this is awesome. This is better than a play date. And I thought, okay, we're doing something right here. Mustard seed moments bring enormous change. I remember, and this was several years ago, the businessman who came to see me. And he said, I'm tremendously successful in what I do. When I set my mind to something, I can get it done, and I have everything that I need in terms of life comfort. But he said, I am here, and I'm bringing my children to church today because I remember an experience I had when I was very young, when I went to vacation Bible school. I remember my teacher. I remember her telling me about Jesus. And I remember feeling a peace and a love in that room that I never felt again after I left. That's why I'm bringing my children here, because I know that that experience for me as a child was real. And I want my kids to experience that as well. The power of small, the power of the mustard seed, faith alive in the heart of a small child moves mountains. Now, on a secular note, I mean, I'm sure most of you have heard of the book The Tipping Point by Gladwell, which is almost a classic by now. The term tipping point we use in our conversations today, the book talks about how very small events in history create huge change. Gladwell uses the example of a virus. Can you see a virus? No, it's smaller than a mustard seed. But when you have the flu, you know it, right? There's no question there. It lays you out. It's so small. He talks about how a few graffiti artists fuel a subway crime wave, or a satisfied customer who simply connects with the right people fills empty tables in a new restaurant. Social epidemics that form history start in very small, tiny ways, and the moment when they take off, when they reach their critical mass, that's called the tipping point, and it changes history. Small, insignificant things that are low on the value scale in my spiritual blue book are often the very things that make monumental change. And then when we combine that with the Holy Spirit working in very small events, all of a sudden we have a change of heart, not just social change on the outside. Jesus says to us, the kingdom of heaven is like that. What is Jesus saying, and why are these little insignificant things the bricks and mortar of the kingdom of God? Why does God use what is weak and small and ordinary, what appears unimpressive, not of great importance, to build his kingdom, to create his purpose, to usher in his presence? Paul tells us why, and he says it this way. He says, God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. Why? So that no one may boast before him. Let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. I told you before, and I'll tell you again, that it was a mustard seed moment that led me into ministry. God used a child from the slums of Harlem to melt the ice-aged, frozen will of a female graduate, that was me, who was dead set against going to seminary and had other lofty ideas for herself. This child looked at me as I was packing up our student apartment, which was located in the complex where he lived in Harlem. It was a very rundown place with cockroaches and occasional rats and a window that looked out on an air shaft where garbage was thrown down. We had done a ministry to the kids. They'd been over at our house quite a bit. Many of them didn't have families to go home to after school, and we were often there studying. And this child said to me, "You'll forget me, you know. You are going on to a better life, but we have to stay here." The child who said this was a special needs child who had been taunted and teased about his inability to understand things. What an irony. What an irony. Right then, in that mustard seed moment, the Holy Spirit grabbed my heart, and I knew I had to go to seminary so that I wouldn't forget the poor, the lowly, the weak, the children. I knew it right then. The call was as clear as crystal. Or the mustard seed moment C.S. Lewis describes when he got a haircut he didn't need. He turned into the barber shop because all day long he'd been hearing a still, small voice urging him to go to this particular barber shop. He had a lot of other things to do that day. His hair was cropped short from a haircut he'd just had a few days before, but the voice kept persisting, "Go and get a haircut there." So he went in, feeling stupid. It was a mustard seed response to a very quiet but persistent urging. Turns out the barber had a lot on his mind that day. Turns out he was going through a tough time. Lewis consoled him and prayed with him. As Lewis prepared to leave, the barber looked at him and said, "I'm so glad you came in today. If you hadn't come in and said what you said to me, I was planning on locking up early and taking my own life. You've given me hope. Thanks so much." Each time a few of us gather to pray for this church before worship or 6:30 a.m. on Tuesday morning in the library, there are never a lot of people there. But there's enough. There's enough. Prayer group is the mustard seed that's already opened doors for ministry here, all the little tiny prayer groups that we have in this church. This group of people who pray are strong and powerful, and they pray for you, and they pray for the future of this church, and they pray for the finances, and they pray for the vision, and we pray against the enemy who would like to distort what God's plan is here. Just a mustard seed of prayer, just a few, but powerful to rock heaven and earth. A child from the bowels of Harlem, a step into a barber shop, a few folks gathered for prayer, and we see the kingdom of heaven. This is mustard seed living, so stay awake to it. Put that mustard seed where you can see it. It's through the smallest things and the lowliest people and the little events and the interruptions in the still small voice and a group of a few huddled together for prayer that we find Jesus. And that's so we won't think that anything the Lord does is because of our great achievements. This thing called Christianity, if you remember, started in the mustard seed of a manger, a feeding trough for animals. It started with a ragtag bunch of uneducated men who followed a rabbi named Jesus who paid attention to people no one else really cared about. Prostitutes and thieves and people called Samaritans that you weren't supposed to talk to. This Jesus never wrote a book, held an office, or traveled very far from the place where he was born. He was homeless, shacked up with friends, this Jesus. He was then crucified and laid in a borrowed grave. Who would have thought that such a small, unimpressive movement somewhere in some obscure area in the Middle East, such a humble mustard seed beginning of no account, a mustard seed of a movement as well, would shake the foundations of our culture or our history and still be transforming lives today. When you make a practice of watching God work, you find that lives are always changed, beginning with the mustard seed. Because someone took the time to pray, someone listened to God and went into a barber shop, or someone decided to make a visit, hold a hand, offer a cup of water in Jesus' name. Someone decided to do a vacation Bible school and lead small children to Jesus. I'm going to close with one more story of a little child who came to Jesus this week. She came in all alone. She's about 7 years old to ask Jesus into her heart. She was so sincere, I wish you could have all been there to see her, brown eyes staring at me as she told me with complete transparency how she had regularly prayed to God all of her life, but had never made the choice to invite Jesus in here. She told me this solemnly and reverently as I listened to her. She was amazing. So we prayed together and thanked God that he was always with her, no matter what. And when we were done, I got up to show her to the door so she could leave. She started to go out, and then she paused, turned, ran back, and threw her arms around me. And I was flooded with a sense of God's presence as she did this. And I knew that we both had sensed Jesus in the room. What a profound mustard seed moment that was. I needed that hug on that day, and it demonstrated to me how important the smallest things can be. A word of encouragement, a note, a lunch date, a phone call, a text or email appreciating someone, a hug, and a small child asking Jesus into her heart. So remember the mustard seed. Nurture those seeds if you have a child in your life who has asked Jesus into their heart this week. The mustard seed is the kingdom of God in our midst at work, working in small, working in ordinary, working in humble ways to bring about his glorious kingdom. Would you pray with me? Lord God, thank you for mustard seeds. Thank you for children who know you sometimes better than we do, who trust completely, and who are so willing to open their heart to you. Lord, be with all who accepted Christ this week, and be with us, that we might stay awake to the mustard seeds you're calling us to do, so that we can usher in your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Sarah, if you could come up here. I just want to, and if you guys could just stay here a minute and go, they would like to give you some flowers, Sarah. Oh. This is just for you. So we want the kids to give you flowers. You've had amazing years with us, and we just want to take this. And we wanted to surprise you, though, so so you didn't know. I'm sorry. But give your flowers to Miss Sarah, and then you can go sit down. We're so grateful for all you've done. And we love you. And there's also cake out on the courtyard for Ryan and Sarah to celebrate their ministry among us. So we invite you to that. And you've got cards coming with the flowers. I can hold them for you if that helps. You all right? Then maybe, children, if you could just stay up here and let's all pray for Sarah as she goes to her new place and continue that God would continue to bless her and bless us as we stay here and do ministry. Would you like to just put your hands on Sarah and just pray for her? You can just pray, come around, and we'll just pray for her. Lord God, thank you so much for Sarah, and thank you for her ministry among us. She's been with us a long time, and we will miss her. Thank you so much for the VBS that she's done and the clear anointing of your Spirit upon her that has made children come to know your love more deeply. Just bless her on her way. We know that you'll take care of us here and that you've brought Mrs. Diaz to help us out, and we just thank you for her too. Give us all a vision of your love in the day ahead and be with us all. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Thank you again, Sarah. Okay. Go in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. May you know his love and stay awake to the mustard seed moments as he brings them to you. Amen.